We are Brightside.
Nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. The Home Theater Podcast is all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Hey, we're ringing in the new year here, I guess, across Europe. I guess what France Dom just celebrated moments ago, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, he should be an hour ahead. No. Yep. He'll be an hour from now.
He's an hour ahead. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. So we can ring him in. There we go. We can ring him in 50 minutes. The countdown for Dom, 50 minutes in France. I don't know why I was thinking it was right now. Here I was trying to be on time, and I was like, look at us early. I feel like we're early because we're only 10 minutes late.
For us, that's early.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And at the top of the show, anyone in the chat, can you just let me know, do I sound normal or does it sound like it did last week? Tell us, because we don't know. It sounds all right to us.
Yeah. It's been bothering Steve all week.
It really has. I've listened to the show twice back and through gritted teeth thinking, what did I do?
Like you said, it's like neither myself nor Shane, we didn't hear it during the recording, but I did phoning into a tie. Wow. Yeah. So TSG saying it sounds fine now, but I know what they're talking about because when I make the show or when I produce the show, I can hear the difference. It doesn't sound like that to me right now. Rachel's saying okay.
Yeah, let me just try something and see if this is any better just from the listeners.
Okay, so that's now.
No.
Yeah, so that's
worse. All sorts of room echo. Yeah.
Let's not do that then.
Yeah. No.
How about that? Is that better for you? Does that sound better for you?
It sounds good to me right there. That sounds normal to me.
Any different listeners just to help me out, man? I may have to swap out my microphone in the week and just get a new one because
the
laptop's working okay. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Really strange.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, to me. Boy. You know what else, though? Because now maybe I could, because if it sounds good to me here, maybe my recording on this end of you will be fine. I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry,
guys.
Yeah. Let me check one other thing on my end. This is always fun,
Chat.
My end's fine because I know I could make you echo if my settings aren't correct. So, but mine's fine. And so I don't know. But
sorry, guys.
Hey, don't want to be sorry. I'm glad we have discerning listeners. I mean, that's the nature of our hobby, right? It's like if it ain't perfect, it ain't right. So, unfortunately, it's never going to be perfect, but.
Sorry, guys.
Everything. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what we can do. Marcus saying sounded a little bit better, Steve.
Okay. Well,
it's all about, we can enhance it with a higher quality audio, but it's still us, Steve, right? They're here for the content, not the quality. I hope.
Or a bit of both, hopefully.
Nobody ever said they sound great, but I don't even want to hear what they have to say, but they sound great. So I listen to them all the time. That doesn't even make sense.
No, fair enough. Well, I'll invest in a new microphone within the next week. And if that doesn't improve it, we'll know that there's something else that's wrong somewhere. But there we go. Alrighty. Apologies guys, but happy new year, everyone. Nearly there.
Happy New Year. We've got, as of right now, what are we looking at? We're looking at 47 minutes for France. Just rang in? What country, Steve, just rang in Europe?
That's going to be – it'll be somewhere further east of us. Ireland's not far enough. It'll be somewhere in the Atlantic. It must be. It would have been an hour ahead of us.
They'd be the other ways. Yeah, they'd be like Germany or something, further east.
Germany. Yeah, we're on the west coast here. So
right.
So of Europe, as it were. I mean, we're not actually in Europe, but you know what I mean. So it would be somewhere in the Atlantic that may have rang it in an hour sooner. That would have just rang it in. So I don't know. Somewhere else.
Yeah, no, it's on the east side of France. further inland.
Oh, yeah.
Would have already rang it in. You're going the wrong way,
Steve. Man, it's been a long day.
Yeah, I'm coming from London today. I don't know. Over here, the sun goes, you know, east to west. I don't know. Maybe over there it's different.
Yeah. It will be central. It won't be Germany, because I think they're on the same as Spain and France, because it's like central European time. So I imagine it's further east than that. Yeah. Okay. So you know, not someone else, some other place.
Berlin is 11:15 right now. So they're saying
an hour ahead.
Same as France. Latvia 12:14 right now. Steve at saying.
Okay. The there chat. We go then. Well.
There we go.
Happy. How do you say Happy New Year in Latvian?
I just did. Happy New
Year.
Very
good. Like in right. Latvian.
It's like if they don't know what I'm talking about, they don't really care what I have to say then.
Hey, we've got a lot of fans there.
Exactly. And that's the thing. They know what we're saying. Unfortunately, I don't have any Happy New Year graphics for our screen here, but the audio only people on Friday don't really care. And it's not even New Year's on Friday when they're hearing this. So.
They're already in the future. They don't care.
Yeah, they're already in the future. And how long do you go saying Happy New Year? Isn't it?
That's the thing.
January, you're like, Happy New Year. It's like, no.
Yeah. I reckon it's mid January. I reckon it's around that time for people you see new. After that, it's weird.
Yeah.
But I've had people saying Happy New Year earlier today, and that feels a bit weird as well, because it's not yet.
No, but they're just saying they won't see you until the next year, and it's either that, see you next year. Gotta love that joke. That one comes out every year.
Yeah.
See you next year. Not if you keep giving me that joke, you won't.
Not if I see you first. But talking of listeners and in other parts, I've been doing listener liaison this week, Deej. Last night, I met up with one John Thompson in Charing Cross in London. We had a drink in a pub called the Coal Hole. It's not a euphemism.
All right.
Since
we're doing some name dropping, I'll do mine next. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we met up with John, and we had a couple of drinks in a pub in London, and caught up, shot the breeze. Very cool. Always nice to
as
see John.
You and, say.
Yes, well, indeed. Yes, indeed. But, you know, he's very cool. And, it's nice to speak to him and catch up to him. And he's a very busy boy. And he's got some very interesting projects coming up in the not-too-distant future.
Nice.
He's great. He's doing very, very well. And he tweeted us out afterwards, tweeted the show, tweeted out the selfie that he took.
I have to check that out. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. You should have texted me. You both have my number.
We didn't want to hassle you.
You guys are a hassle.
So that was good fun. So yeah, I've just been in London for the last two nights.
Nice.
Been very cool. And been out and about. Went into a very expensive store, one of the most well known stores in the world called Harrods of London, which caters to the ultra rich, so not me. And saw some very, very, very high end kit, which was including, by the way, teach 110-inch mini QLED screen, that was £125,000.
Yep. Isn't that insane?
Yeah. I have to say, it was running the usual, you know, in store 8K type demos. And it didn't look that great to me. And if I'd spent that kind of money on a 110-inch screen and it looked like that, I'd be very unhappy. It was not good. It was not good. Really? But then again, I wandered into one of the demo rooms and they were showing a short throw projector on a screen. And I didn't think that looked that great either. It's just one of those things.
It could be the setup, could be the room, could be the calibration. But
yeah, I don't think it had any of those.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was very cool. No, it's been a really nice few days. Bought a couple of new 4K discs, bought some new kind of tat for the cinema room. It was, very pleasant, very good. And again, always nice to meet John. So that's my name drop. What's yours?
And then, here we go.
I just grabbed the pictures. There you are, two handsome devils. Well, I didn't like to say, at least one of us is. Yeah, I won't say which one.
You don't like to brag, right, Steve?
Well, I couldn't possibly say. One doesn't want to blow one's own trumpet.
But one has tried.
Well. Hey, John.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, hey, John. Yeah. We're all slightly demob happy. But yeah, no, it was, but like I said, very cool meeting John. He's always great fun, always very informative. And I have promised to go up to London for the next big kind of theatrical release to go with him to see the new Barco 13, ooh, whatever it is. He said it was 13 light steering projector or something that that has been installed in one cinema. It's apparently better than Dolby Cinema. And John's like, you need to see it, Steve. Oh. So I have agreed when the next big release comes out that's been shot with that tech in mind, then I'm going to go and give that a watch and I shall report back. And he's made me promise not to see Dolby Cinema in the meantime because I've never seen Dolby Cinema. And he said, don't watch Dolby Cinema first because you'll watch that and then see this light steering projector and go, well, it's a bit better. But he said, if you experience the light steering projector first, you will then think everything else is rubbish.
Rubbish.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm not sure when the big new releases are coming, but I'll keep an eye on those.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll let you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 So it was very good. So yeah, very pleasant. And again, lots of stories, none of which I'm saying on air. Very, very cool.
We get lots of those and he's very busy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's correct.
Yeah.
Very cool. So yeah. So very pleasant couple of days away. Nice. Very good. So who have you been schmoozing with then, Deej?
So, well, it's not really. You just mentioned you were at a pub. So I was like, well, hey, look it. I'm wearing our, you know, we've never had a sponsor. So like hashtag dork, you know, idle hands, they've slipped them a beer or two. Well, you know, mm-hmm. I may have been comped a beer or two. So my friends at, you know, the Grill on Main, it's like, I got all the paraphernalia on. I've got the hat. I've got the sweatshirt. It's like, and I got the, you see the laces for the sweatshirt? Can you see here? The sweatshirt just comes with black ones. So I took hockey laces. Mm. And I put them through and they match. And it's like, how do I get that nice sweatshirt? It's not the sweatshirt. It's the laces. It's the laces. You can jazz anything up. But yeah, it's like, the girls that own the restaurant been great to us. So it's like, hey, might as well show, you know, I've been comped a beer or two here and there. I consider that a sponsorship for the show, right?
Yeah. Hey, man, look, I hope they're sending some over. What the hell? How can only 50% of us benefit from it?
Yeah, 50%. There's three of us, Steve. Three of us. You forgot John already. Out of sight, out of mind.
I didn't like to say. He's knee deep in his own beer at the moment, I think.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Happy New Year. Yeah. John's already started celebrating early. They were going out, so he wasn't able to make the show. But
very cool. Yeah, no, very good. And can we tell me, do they do different other items, not just the sweatshirt and the hat? Do they do other things?
They have like, t-shirts.
For instance, perhaps gloves with the thumbs cut off?
Yes. Anyway, yeah, exactly. Wondering. Exactly. yeah. Fonzie. Hey. Hey.
Hey, Fonzie.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. But yes. Yeah. So just happened to have this handy. little joke towards you there. Just happened to have this handy. So, hey, shout out to the Grill on Main in Douglas, Massachusetts. Main Street of all places. You can't miss it.
Makes sense, really, when you think about it. Yes,
there
indeed.
There you go. Exactly.
Word has it they have very nice chicken wings.
Yes. Yes, they have them in all. They have dry rub. They have buffalo. They have teriyaki. And my favorite is the garlic parm that's on special every now and then, which they just had this past weekend.
We are doing adverts. We don't even need coffee. We just could just say it.
Exactly. Well, I'm there all the time. Oh, God.
There you go. This should get you a few more beers.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. Yeah, it was wicked funny. But mugs as well, Rachel. Mugs as well. There you go. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, it's funny because you just mentioned a pub and I was like, hey, look at that. Perfect timing.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
Sponsors of home theater, the pub.
Yeah. Eddie, happy New Year to you too, buddy. Eddie Trochez. Got to get in touch with you on those remotes. We'll do that. But yeah, thanks, Eddie. Nice to see you.
Yeah, Eddie.
Nice to see you.
See you. Nice. So like I say, very cool. Have you got that picture then of those speakers then, John? Deej, let's talk about those things.
Let's get to that right now then. Mm. Let's see.
So actually, I'll tell you what, while you're doing that, Deej, let's say hi to those who have decided to spend their New Year's Eve with us. yeah, let's say hi to them. So TSG is at work, but listening and watching and interacting with us. So we'll try not to get you into trouble, TSG. Yeah. He's a local boy, so Happy New Year. Steve At was in earlier as well. Hi, Steve. Marcus Beebs in, although he's trying to get people to join the Dark Side Home Theater, Deej. I think we've got competition. Outrageous.
What's that again? Sorry about that.
Says Marcus Beebs wants you to join the Dark Side Home Theater.
Oh, geez. I know somebody else that wants to do the Dark Side too, but I won't mention. Like, so Mike, I might get them in trouble. Say their name on air.
Say hi, Mikey's in. Happy New Year, Mikey. Rach is in saying Happy New Year, as we know. Gorinda's in. Hi, Gorinda. We've got Paul popped in. Then he said he was off to the pub, not the coal hole in Charing Cross, as far as I know. We're doing ads. We might as well say
We're just shouting out all the ads. Anyway, it's like, you know what it takes to be a sponsor of this show? We've got to frequent your establishment. That's it. You don't have to give us anything. It's just like, I haven't been to McDonald's in a while. That's why I'm not mentioning it. You know, I'm not going to talk about it. I don't go to McDonald's. Yeah, but I'm telling you, I don't go there.
Blech. Oh, very sensible. Yeah.
Right? See?
We'll get sued.
Now I'm getting sued. We made it, Steve. We're being sued.
Claim it last. And Captain
I'm probably going to get sued by the Grill on Main. We can.
Well, yeah, this is true. This is true. Captain AC3's in. Yeah, Captain. Happy New Year, buddy. And obviously Eddie Trochet is in. Jordan's in. Happy New Year, Jordan. Martin J is in as well. Hi guys. Actually, genuinely, thanks for tuning in, because I was fairly convinced on New Year's Eve that it would just be you and me, Deej.
No.
Yeah. So it's very cool that other people are giving up their time to spend with us, and we'll try and keep you as entertained as possible, even if you can't hear us very clearly, or me anyway.
Yeah, we can hear you. It just might not be up to the standards that they used to.
It's all about standards.
Yeah. Martin J. met Martin J. last week in the Patreon chat after the show for the first time. So, Martin, say hi. Happy New Year, buddy. That was fun meeting people for the first time. And
Where's Martin J. from, Deej?
I believe he was from Ireland, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, same place, same time zone as us then.
Okay. And, nice. Which was really cool, because after the show, we had Ireland represented. We have Dom was in. We have France. Paul came in. We had England. I think it was Tom, I believe, was down in Nashville. So we were bouncing all over the planet, which was really cool. I'm like, oh, come on, Antarctica.
Still waiting for those penguins.
Yeah, exactly. So no after show this week because of the obviously New Year's and stuff. So. But it was really, really cool meeting some people for the first time, and they'd been, patrons for a while, but just seeing them face to face and talking to them in person, quotation fingers, really cool. So,
yeah, really nice.
Cool. A lot of fun. All right, let's get to this, talk about this, Steve. This isn't a movie. They are an experience. Do. That's for sure.
I mean, so these are the two speakers. I mean, I went to Harrods in London, which is a world famous store where they used to say pre-internet days, and Harrods has been around for a very long time. And they famously used to say pre-internet, they could get you just about any product in the world within 24 hours. Used to be the boast. And it's an ultra exclusive, ultra luxurious store, which is surprising they let me in. But anyway, I wandered in yesterday, as one does. Lost Deej. He's gone. It's just me. Okay, well, I can freestyle then until he comes back. We were expecting some issues tonight from my end, not from Deej's. I'm sure he'll be back in very soon. Here he comes. There you go, Deej. What happened? Did McDonald's cut us off?
Yeah. Exactly. That's sorry about that. Damn.
That's all right, man. I was freestyling there. That would
Ronald was not happy.
The hamburger is on his way.
There we go.
Okay, so, here we go.
I accidentally moved the I don't know what I did. But I'm back.
Plug. He's back. So as I said, I was in Harrods. I wandered up to the technology section, not really knowing what I was going to see, to be honest. I didn't really think they'd have much, but actually they did have a lot of stuff, very little of which I'd want to own or indeed could afford. And I'm about to prove that point in a moment when I'll get you to zoom in on that picture, Deej, if you're able to in a minute. So these speakers then, these are BEO speakers or B&O speakers. which are ginormous. I mean, that screen there is a 97-inch screen. Wow. And so that'll show you how big those speakers are. They're probably, what, 4.5, 5 feet, something like that. They're ginormous. Yeah. And as I said, if you can zoom across, you'll see the price. Johnny speakers has said, I've never seen those. Neither are you likely to, Johnny, when you see the price. So what you'll see, that's a nice one. So you'll see the TV. So it's a Beovision Harmony 97 inch, £52,000. Yep. The exchange rate at the moment is $1.25 to the pound. So you guys can do the maths.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And that's for the TV.
That's the number I was going to say too. A lot.
Yeah. 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 That's a lot. And then if you say, if you look there in the Biolab 90 speakers, right? So it says there, you are not seeing that wrong.
When I took the photo, I thought maybe I was. £1,500.
Yeah, John Thompson and I were talking about it. We think that's about $160,000
a speaker.
For the speakers, yes. And if you and just underneath that, and it's not clear enough, in at least in my eyes, from that, it's my fault.
$15,700.
Yeah, no. Just underneath $139,500. If you're thinking to yourself, right, you're thinking to yourself,
standard
that's quite
edition.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says standard edition, non-bespoke.
$125,000. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's much better.
Yeah. Well, if you want to save a few bucks and just get the standard edition, right? So $139,000, maybe you didn't save up enough from your paper route.
Yeah.
So you can save a few bucks. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, once you've saved a $125,000, you might as well keep going and get the bougie ones for $140,000.
Now, here's what struck me, Deez. Not only is it a ridiculous price. Okay. Now, here's what I was thinking. Not only,
but wait, there's more.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, right? Okay. So let's assume for a moment. Let us speculate, if we may. So let's say you've got that money and you think, I know what I need. I need me some speakers.
Nothing else to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. So I need me some speakers, and boy, oh boy, do those aesthetically look beautiful. But let's just say they do to you. They look like something out of Beetlejuice. You know, the sort of thing that attacked the family in Beetlejuice.
No, it looks like somebody hung their laundry over it. Like they're black sheets. Like, it's like a coat hanger stuck in it, and they just threw it over something.
So now tell me this, though. So you get those, and you're like us, and you're thinking, right, I want a 97-inch TV, and I want to have a Dolby Atmos surround system. What do you pair those with?
Well, my Marantz 7706 ought to go very nicely with that.
But you're not going to get 11 of those. You're not going to go, I'll have three across the front end, and I'll have four across the back, and I'll have two side surrounds, and I'll have my overheads. What do you do? If you want those, what do you do?
You do nothing. If you're even considering it, you do it because you can. I don't know. It's what you do when you don't have enough money. You ever seen, Brewster's Millions?
Mm.
Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. This day and age, somebody gave you that money. Remember he mailed the stamps? How do you spend money and not retain money? That was the greatest part of that movie is like, because every time you do something, it usually pays back in one way or another. So how do you just get rid of all those millions of dollars? Build a home theater. Build a home theater and post it online. Inside of 20 minutes, it'll be destroyed. It's worthless.
Well, actually, I think we've got a public service announcement here.
Okay.
TSG says he's managed to find them for $115,500. So
there you
go. There you go. Don't say we don't help you.
Sold. There you go. Look at Bargain Hunter. We got a little Bargain Hunter going on here on New Year's Eve.
So what would you do though? Genuinely, what would you do?
It's got to be two channel stuff. It's just something that you put in your living room just so you can say you have them. It's literally got to be like bragging rights. You're not spending that kind of money and putting it in a private room and sitting there with your eyes closed listening to the music. It's literally bragging rights. Because you can. Because you've got other friends that spent $120 on something or $115 on sale and be like, watch this. I spent this much more. It's like, John Thompson will like this reference. There's a scene in Big Bang Theory when Penny's old boyfriend meets them at a restaurant. And he's like, he'd hit it rich with his company. And he's, but he's wicked. He's so stupid. There's like, that's the, that's his character on the show. And he's like, they're like, they told him it was $300. They give me the most expensive bottle of wine you have here. And they're like, it's $300. And they're like, that's not enough. And they're like, I want to spend more. They go, okay, it's $350. He's like, perfect. That's it. That's it. Just bragging rights. It's like, yeah, I spend more. It's the same bottle. It's like, oh, well, that's all it is. It's all it is. It's like, yeah. I mean, and at this price point, are you testing them out and like, oh, those are so much better than those other ones that I'm going to save them. I'm not getting those other ones at $150,000. These ones sound way better.
Yeah.
Come on. Well, no. It's a bragging rights thing, which is by all rights. I mean, I do the, we all do the same thing. Like, yeah, look at my theater. I mean, that's part of the fun.
But can you imagine just sensibly going into the shop and going, right, I'll have my 52 grand TV. I'll have my 140. Yeah, quite. I'll have 150 grand, or 140 grand speakers. And, oh, what do you mean? I need to now get a home theater as well. Okay. Now what am I spending on that? You know, just kind of just boggles the mind, doesn't it? Yeah. Boggles the mind.
Yeah, it does.
But if I give you an idea as to kind of the type of people that are shopping there, in the same area there were these sit down gaming rigs, and you've got these ones that are kind of they're I'm trying to describe it. I didn't get a photo, unfortunately, but it's a sit in pod that kind of looks like a Formula One pod, but it's got a roof, right? And you sit in this thing, and there's a curved monitor on the front of it, and they were £65,000 each. And as we were kind of looking around it, we heard the salesman say to someone else who was asking about one, he said, yeah, we've sold three since Christmas and we sold seven before Christmas at £65,000 each.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Different world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It amazes me when you see, like, you know, especially me in the car business, and it amazed me to see how many cars are turned over. Like how often, like how, where are all these people? You know, that's, you don't realize what a small bubble we all live in. Even if you know 100 people, it's such a small bubble, but like cars and cars, like how many Toyota dealerships can you have in one area and they're all cranking out cars, right? Mm. And then you go into like BMW dealerships or Mercedes dealerships and they're cranking out the sales and we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars for these cars. And it's like, and like right next door is like a used car lot and they're cranking out. Like where's all this money coming from that people can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars? And you're like, oh yeah. And then just turn it in every year, they just get a new one. Okay.
Like, well, we were in this area, South Kensington in London. We were there, which is where Harrods is. Well, it's in Knightsbridge, but it's right there. And we were there for about an hour as we were walking up. And as we were walking, I saw about four different Lamborghinis, several Ferraris. There's a lot of money.
Oh yeah, there is. So, not in my bank account, but it's out there.
Yeah, no, it's out there. It's floating around.
Yeah, it's floating. It's floating. Yeah. It's
like, but if you guys are, you know, anyone that is listening that's in London and wants to see some ludicrous tech, I get that, you know, you might spend that money and then be blown away. I mean, I can't say to the speakers because I didn't listen to them, but I can certainly say to the quality of the displays, because I like to think I know my displays.
Yeah.
I'd take my screen over those any day of the week and twice on Sundays. So not only is it ludicrously expensive, you're not getting the quality for that either. I mean, I know we talk about, you know, degrees of you know, it's all about certain degrees of improvements, isn't it? The higher up you go. But, I'd take my screens over those any day of the week, even the kind of the torch mode ones, you know, they're just not that great at all. You know,
but that's also – we also take form over we take function over form. Right. A lot of this stuff here is the function is already there. And now you're looking at the aesthetics, the form of it. Like, how does this look in the room? It's an artistic piece. These things become an artistic piece over their actual function. Right.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. And once you get into that level, it's like, you know, money's not the object. It's like what does this speak to you? What does it say to you? How is it? What does this mean to you in your room? And does this, you know, who knows what these speakers remind somebody of? When I was a kid, I don't even want to know what this reminds you of as a child. That's a Rorschach. That's a Rorschach test. I do not want to know, but it's like, what the heck? But yeah, to each his own. And that's like, I'm not going to tell anybody they can or can't do something. I mean, we all do crazy crap, but hey, you know, if you got the money, by all means, enjoy it. You know, so.
Yeah, well, quite. And as I said, oh, sorry, as I started to say, what I sort of got off on a thread is, so if you are in London and you want to go and see some ludicrously expensive tech, and you know, you don't have to buy anything, go and put your nose in there. Jonah Fish says, he said, we went to Harrods when visiting London a few years ago, and the only thing my wife bought was a stuffed Paddington bear.
Yeah.
I didn't even buy that.
I was going to get it, but I had to get it unstuffed because I couldn't afford the stuffing. but it's funny because you don't, you know, I never point fingers at this stuff. I never say like you're crazy for doing it because, I mean, even us in this home theater world, 99% of the population points at us and goes, what the hell are you guys doing? That's crazy money you're spending, right? Even on our simplest system. You know, anything above a TV speaker is crazy to 99% of the population, right? It really is. Then you get into our dedicated theaters, right? And be like, and then get into my world. You're so crazy. You built a theater and now you're sitting under the stairs in your house talking to the world about it. Yeah. Check out my studio. I spent more money on this studio than most people spend on the sound for the theater. Their TV, right? Yeah. So it's like, you see how crazy it can get. And it's like, how much, I mean, listening, all the people listening to us right now probably spent more money on what they're listening to us on right now than 99% of people spend on their sound for their movies at home.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like, so it's like, if you get the money, if I had the money to do this, I'd do something probably just as stupid. Not those, no doubt about that, but I'd do something stupid. But that's my prerogative. I got the money. Yeah. Go dumb.
Yeah, well, go big or go home, I suppose.
Yep.
And
here I am at home.
So we're big and stayed home.
Yeah. Yep.
So TSG says, looking around, the most expensive speakers I could find was one pair for $2 million. Okay. Yeah. All right. Wow. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they have those.
Maybe they were ours.
Yeah. that's the pair Ara made me. I got them in my living room. I don't like to talk too much about it. Yeah, priceless. There you go. Even more. Yeah, they are literally priceless. You couldn't give me. Maybe you could.
I was going to say, if anyone's offering.
Ara would allow it. He'd be mad. you what?
But you'd want it shared with him, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'd throw him a few bucks.
Yeah, well, 50 quid. It's fine. No problem.
There you go. No problem. So,
it was an interesting little trip that I wasn't expecting. I mean, I only wandered in there to show the people I was with what this place looks like, and then went up there, and then I was kind of wandering around. Yeah, I mean, again, if you come over, Deej, we'll take you so you can have a little look at it and see what you think of it. You know, if nothing else, to see what 110-inch mini QLED screen looks like, because of course yours is 110, isn't it? Which is what I was thinking of. I sat in front thinking, oh, right, so that is the size Deej has got. But I've no doubt yours looks better than that did.
Yeah. Well, we had, I saw the stuff at Cedia. Same thing. And you see the stuff at Cedia. We saw 100 and I think it was 160-inch, and it was looked like an OLED television. I mean, super. Yeah. I mean, it's insane. And that one actually made projectors, everything. You're like, that's insane how crazy good that was, how deep the black levels were, everything. Let's see what Marcus B is saying. DJ, have you tried the new aspect ratios on the Apple 4K TV? I haven't even seen that yet. No, haven't seen it. I'm intrigued. I'll be right back. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, you can't do that to me, Marcus. Squirrel, gotta go. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, I haven't even heard of it.
I'm not sure what that would be. Why would you mess with what's already there? I mean, why would you?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wondering if, like, is that out of beta? Oh, Steve At. I'm wondering if it's like, so for somebody like Travis that has like a 239 screen, maybe your Apple TV will format the entire thing for the 239 screen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like I could take it and I could put my masking up and set my screen up to be a 239 screen for everything if I wanted to.
Okay.
So it sounds, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Anthony says they're broken. Don't work. Well, there we go. Moving on.
What's that?
That was quick.
How are the aspect ratios broken?
But it works.
Is that a crack? Like, I don't know. Maybe it does it. Yes, it will do 239. So yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go. Martin J is saying it'll do 239. I guess Apple watched it. I don't want to get sued. Ronald already dropped us. I don't need Apple mess. I'm on a MacBook here. We love Apple. Apple's great. Almost as much as we love the grill on Main. Apple's or never bought me a beer, okay?
So Full Hole Pub on Charing Cross, yeah, London.
There you go. Exactly.
We've got no idea we exist. They made us pay for our drinks. Yep. But there we go.
See, I actually got a free beer. So it's
selling myself too cheaply here.
Yeah, exactly. Anthony, if you set a 239 aspect, it makes it look like 4.3. Travis will be pulling his hair out.
Well, apparently, if you set it for 4.3, you'll get 239.
239. Come on. Work backwards, people.
Yeah. It's,
fine. Okay, Marcus. Marcus is saying beta works fine. So I'm wondering if, yeah, it'd be interesting. I posted him. Oh. And apparently, it's broken for everyone. But see, if you have a Mad VR, maybe the Mad VR is messing with it. I wonder if that's the case. Like, if your Mad VR is thinking that you're getting a 16.9, I wonder if anything that you need an anamorphic. Oh, there you go. That could be the problem. So you need an anamorphic lens. I don't have an anamorphic lens. Marcus Beaton is saying. Okay. All right. So.
Sold.
Yeah. So in answer to the overall question, nope, haven't tried it. But apparently a lot of people have. So, all right. Yeah, well, yeah. So, Anthony's saying with the Mad V, that's even with the Mad VR off. So, yeah. All right. Well, they're working. You know what's interesting about all of it? They're working on something. Mm-hmm. You know, Apple's trying to come up with, because they know that's interesting in and of itself, is that Apple's thinking that, hey, people have 239 screens. Or even anamorphic screen or whatever, and they want to try and, you know, you could set your screen up using that with Apple. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Most people have no idea what that means, and they're still working on that. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Well, just to give Apple a little bit of props and to prevent us from being sued in any way, the rumor has it this weekend Apple TV Plus is free for the whole weekend. So Saturday, Sunday is free. So if anyone isn't subscribed to it and wants to binge watch something, then apparently it's free all weekend. So
that
ad number four.
There we go. Brought to you by.
Tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Ringing in the new year. There you go. That's awesome. Let's see. All right. Let's see. Oh, speaking of crazy stuff, I just saw this before coming on the show. Kaleidoscape has their list out of most watched movies on Kaleidoscape in 2024. So this is their list based off of everybody, you know, their numbers of what people have watched. All Kaleidoscape owners filtering through, and here's their list. I'm guessing it's 101, top 101, because I counted on my phone. I'll show you on the phone here. It's rows of three. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's 33 rows. And then at the very bottom, there's two. So 33 times three is 99 and plus two is 101. Okay. If you were watching on the screen, maybe you happen to see, what do you think number one was?
Maverick.
Yeah. Cause I showed
Still,
you.
You did. I wouldn't have known otherwise. I would have said
you'd never guess that in 2024. The number one most watched on Kaleidoscape was Maverick. That's insane. That's insane. Well,
I wonder, the lawyer part of me, always looking at the details and the terms of conditions, I wonder if it means entire views or just kind of it's been selected and some has been watched. Like Netflix does that. They will call it an impression. Anything over like the first, I don't know what, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, something like that. Because I wonder whether Maverick's being used to demo stuff.
Correct.
So that's
correct.
All the trade shows are using it. So that's an impression each time.
I would check out Shane on YouTube or, you know, because he has Luke on, or he talked to Luke and from Kaleidoscape, and he'll tell you, and I've heard in the past that like sometimes it is just that. It's like, okay, it's been clicked on this many times because of the demo scenes, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But even still, Maverick being number one out of the year when guess what number two was? Did you happen to catch a glimpse of that?
Dune 2.
Yeah. What was number three?
Oh, God, this is like Deadpool Wolverine.
No.
Oh, Dune. It was on there, though, wasn't it? Oh, Dune. Dune. Okay. Oh, that's got to be
so. Well, Dune came in third. So yeah. Most of the people. So the number one new movie of the year was Dune 2, and Everybody wanted to catch up, so they watched Dune 1 first. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. The number four movie was Twisters. You see what I mean? So now it's like you're getting into: is it really the scenes? Because now we're not talking. You know, scenes, people are probably watching all, they're purchasing them and buying them. And Twisters, you know, that's a new movie to the year. Deadpool, it beat out Deadpool Wolverines at number five. Mm. Oppenheimer coming in at number six. Fall Guy at number seven. The latest Mission Impossible 7 was number eight. Nine, Furiosa. Mm. Number 10. Number 10, the top 10. Take a guess.
Evil Dead Rise.
Nope.
I bet you
that's not even on here.
I thought you're probably right. Yeah.
You'll never guess it, but you're going to be really excited it's there.
Is it this year? Is it a movie from this year?
Nope.
Last year?
Nope.
Bloody hell, It's a Wonderful Life.
No, it is. It is A Wonderful Life. I'm enjoying it very much, but not that movie.
Oh, Wizard of Oz?
Nope. You'll be there forever. You'll go on forever. I could give you a big hint. It is a movie that came out this year, part two, Gladiator.
Oh, yeah.
It was number 10. Number 10. Then, I mean, Beekeeper was 11. I can't help you there. Ready Player One, number 11.
That's demo scenes. That's
exactly. Demo scenes there. Ungentlemanly Warfare at 12. Great. Alien Romulus 13. Civil War 14. I won't go through all of them. Lord of the Rings. Mm. Gladiator 2 came in at, I believe that's 15. But then go to the bottom. Let's go to the bottom. Mm-hmm. The 101 was Spider-Man No Way Home. James Bond Spectre.
Oof.
100th. Mm. Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. 99.
That's you.
98. Back to the Future, 97. Moana was 96. Saving Private Ryan was 95. Mm. Gray Eagles, which comes free when you buy a Kaleidoscape.
Oh, I never heard
of it. So, let's see. Fury was 94. Hmm. Midway 93. There you go. Your favorite. So yeah, the 100. If you go on the list, you can actually go on to kaleidoscape.com and you'll see their list. Even if you don't have a Kaleidoscape, you can just go there. It's pretty cool seeing all that though. But I'm like Maverick at number one.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be demos.
But like you said, it's demos.
Got to be. Because it's a, I mean, don't get us wrong. I mean, we love the movie. It's a fantastic film.
Yeah.
But for it to be number one after all this time is demos. That's trade show demos.
I've only seen it like probably 10 times this year. It's not a lot, you know.
I need to give it another go again. I mean, I've seen it multiple times, but it's such an easy watch.
You know, it's not in here. Yep. Oh my God. I don't see it. Nope.
No Evil Dead Rise?
No Evil Dead Rise. I don't see that.
Don't count it for taste.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, how is Bloodshot not in here? I watch that like 10 times a week. Just me alone. I mean, I own it 20 times. So.
It just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense. So clearly I have no factor in the voting.
So what impact do you have, buddy?
Yeah, I tried to buy it three times from them. They wouldn't let me. Oh, Nelson, man. Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah, happy New Year, Nelson. Hey, buddy. I hope you're feeling better, Nelson, as well.
Yeah.
We mentioned last week.
Yeah, he said he is feeling better. I heard from him the other day. Good. But, yep. So, all right.
Let's do some movies.
Yeah, let's do some movies. This is a movie experiences podcast, right? You are going to talk about the movies?
Rumor.
There are going to be movies in your experiences podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. Oh, we got 7 minutes for Dom. 7 minutes till midnight for Dom.
There we go.
There we go.
Not in.
Who's not in the chat? No, he's probably, yeah. Dom is down, everybody. Dom is down. He didn't make it till midnight.
He's in some sort of brasserie on the Champs-Élysées on his back with a bottle of champagne, obviously.
Tom's going to wake up tomorrow morning with an ice bag on his head, listen to the show, go, yeah, I was down. I was down. Never made it.
It was folie of one.
Yeah. Folie over his old 2 feet.
Folie all over the
old
place.
Old deuce feet.
Oh man!
Oh, you're just laughing at my French accent.
No, it's great. He's falling over his deuce feet. Oh dear, we are Doo Bop happy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic.
This is why I get a free beer here and there at the Grill on Main, located in Douglas, Massachusetts. When I get silly, it gets real stupid. I'm not even drinking.
No, like, well,
what the heck?
Yeah, man, oh, it's gonna be bad later. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you get a couple of those evil Coors Lights in me, I'm in big trouble.
That's the hard stuff.
Yeah, you never know what's going on under the desk.
Enough said.
Enough said. All right. Oh, boy. Let's see. Where were we, Steve?
We were experiences or something. I don't know.
Oh, we're going back to those.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Go on. Yeah, here we go. All right. Let's bring this one up since we were just talking about Kaleidoscape, and this just dropped on Kaleidoscape today.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. There we go. So, Wicked. I was shocked it dropped. I heard last week that it was dropping this week digitally. I was surprised at how early that is, but actually that's 2 months. This came out at the beginning of November.
Yeah, oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure it was the beginning of November when we saw it, because we saw it opening day in the theaters. Meg was on the show right after. Mm. So it was in November. So it's at least been like maybe a month and a half, something like that. Wicked 2 is coming out in November of this year, of 2025. And it's 3 hours long. So I didn't get a chance to, enjoy the whole thing. But I did take in, it is a push play demo material.
Okay.
The opening scene on this. And if you've seen it in theaters and enjoyed it, definitely be grabbing the physical release. If you have any interest in this, be grabbing the physical release of this. I know you don't, Steve. I can see your face.
You'll get charged.
Yeah, exactly. But it is so, I mean, the quality on this is really, really good. The way they come in, there's a voiceover and the voice like fills the room. And they bring in much like, it's not a drone shot, but it's that kind of sweeping shot they come in on, and they show, I mean, it's not a spoiler, but they show the witch's hat and it comes up to, remember the window from The Crow? So it's a window like that. So you're coming up to that, the hat's in a puddle, cause they bring you in, not a spoiler at all, but they bring you in right at the death of the witch, right? From Wizard of Oz. And they're coming in on that. Well, she's already dead and they're just telling you about it. That's the voiceover. And the way it wraps the room and the sounds that are coming around you. Excellent. Excellent. Mm. How it like basically is enveloping your room, sound wise. And then on top of that, it's the, somebody asked in the chat, I believe, if it was an Atmos.
Yeah,
yes, it is. It is an Atmos 4K HDR, 4K HDR Dolby Vision, and getting to the Dolby Vision, there's, it's borderline 3D. It is that good because the way the black levels change because there's some haze in there. You go out the window. There's a couple flying creatures. Spoiler. And I don't want to give anything away, but if you've seen Wizard of Oz, there's a couple flying creatures. Maybe you'll be shocked. Maybe you won't at what can fly. It's not pigs. But you know, it's the way they fly through there. It really like the way I felt at my 110 inch screen sitting about, you know, 10, 11 feet away from it. It reminded me of the Avatar ride that I'd done in Disney. Mm-hmm. It really did feel that way because you drop down, you go around, you do some stuff. And then what it was is there's some clouds, so there's mist in the air, and you can see it coming at you, and it gets bigger, and then it goes away, and I don't know if it's the way the sound's enveloping. It's like, because a cloud going by you shouldn't go whoosh, but the way things are moving, it gave you that feel. And then you come up into a waterfall, and I'm not kidding. I felt like I saw the water go past my screen. I was that, like, into the scene. I know it didn't, okay? I'm not saying they did it. But it's like, it just, you know when you get so into a scene, you're just like, oh, wow. It's like, it was on the left side. It was like a sprinkle. It just, you just get so into it. It really did feel like that. And then I backed it up, played it again. And I was like, yeah, this is really, really good. It's like, nice bass, but, and it was funny when I was watching it, and I'm going, I'm going to say this has really good bass. This is awesome. It's not like Lucy, though. But it's setting the tone. It's the mood. It's the bass and the score. It's everything about that that's just, it's like, it just really moves you. And the other part is where they're bringing you in, especially since I've seen the movie now, I'm seeing the beginning again, and they're bringing you in at what you think you know. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the scene. And even if you haven't seen this movie before, haven't seen the play before, it's bringing you in on what you think you know about the witch and what you assume about the witch and being evil. And you know the feeling you felt when you saw this in The Wizard of Oz, this scene. And then the whole movie, they're going to flip it on its head. And that's the idea of this whole thing. That's why I really enjoyed it. But yeah, the demo scene from, push play demo scene for sure. Dropped on Kaleidoscape today. And like I said, 4K, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. Really, really good. I'm getting a lot of love it or hate it. And I haven't heard anybody go, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say whether I love it or hate it. I've just got no interest in seeing it because I've not seen it. So I can't say I hate it. By the way, Happy New Year, Dom.
Dom's in. No, he's not in. It's midnight. All right, midnight for Dom. There we go.
He's still tripping over his dude's feet. I've got no interest in seeing it. I just can't bring myself to. So I can't say I hate it because I've seen it. Right. But it's just not my kind of film. It's just not for me. Even as a home theater demo. It's because I've got no interest in The Wizard of Oz particularly. Oh, okay. And funnily enough, when I bought these 4K discs that I bought yesterday, they had The Wizard of Oz in 4K for $4.99, brand new. It's one of these counter demos, offers. But I still couldn't bring myself to buy it, even for that. So, but there we go. Oh yeah, hey Holger, Happy New Year, buddy. Yeah,
Happy New Year from Germany. Holger says, nice. It's 2025 now. He's in the future. It's so weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're talking to me from the future.
Exactly. Me too.
Yeah. Not so well.
Yeah.
You're in the future for John. Yeah. You're in John's future. I'm in your future.
There you go. Yeah. And Nelson saying Wicked is done so well. It's excellent.
Yeah. Look, I mean, John Thompson and I were talking about it last night. He's got a particular frame of reference for it, but he loved it. He's seen it multiple times.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. You know, don't get me wrong. Those that like it, love it. And I get that. It's just not personally one that I can see myself watching, even for a home theater demo. It's just not gonna, it just won't impact on me at all. And there's too much cool stuff out there for me to watch something that I know isn't in my wheelhouse. And there's no one here. This is the other thing. There's no one in my immediate orbit that is pushing me to see it either, if you know what I mean. I know you are, Deej, as is my good friend of mine, James, who was saying, you know, he saw it with his daughter and he really enjoyed it. And he's like, Steve, you should see it. And I'm like, I just can't. But there's no one in my immediate vicinity, you know, that would say, oh, do you know what? I really want to see that. Which would make me then want to get it. So luckily, there's not, so I don't have to. Thank God.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, we talk about that on the show all the time, right? That it's like that's what this is about. It's about the experiences, and it's great that there are three of us. Yeah, I mean, the show's three times better than it was when it was just me because now it's we've got all the different experiences that we each want and that we truly want. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you're like, I've mentioned it before. You first came on, like, we should pick a movie. It's like, there's so much content and there's so many things we want to watch to be told what you have to watch.
Yeah.
Makes it so much more difficult. And that's what makes this real. right? Mm. If we don't like it, we're either not going to talk about it because it's never going to come up, or if we did get to see Evil Dead Rise, we're going to tell you we didn't like it, right? So that's
oh, I mean, one of us will. Yeah, everyone exactly. else that comes on will say it's great. Right. But I, you know, I hear what you're saying.
But yeah. No, but you, it's like I'm not. You don't have to see it, but it's like I really enjoyed it, and that's.
Evil Dead Rise. Well, I'm glad to hear that, Deej.
No. Evil. This is Bright. I found it Bright Side, not Evil Side. It's just, evil even the side. Title alone is against everything I stand for.
Anyway, Wicked's good. Yeah, that's what we're
Shane pops in, and I get him right on the show, and he hated Oppenheimer. We love differing opinions around here. It doesn't just because you don't like something doesn't mean you're bad. You might be wrong, but you're not bad.
Other opinions are available. That's what we
say. Yes.
Even if they're wrong.
Even if they're wrong. Exactly. All right, Steve, your choice. What do you want next?
God, roll the dice. Go for it. Actually, I'm just trying to think. Let's take someone. Yeah, let's do that one. Let's get this one.
Because you've seen this as well.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. So this is one I saw a few weeks back now. This is Transformers 1. Yeah. We're calling it Transformers 1, not Transformers 1, 2, because we have already had our 2007 Transformers. So, yeah, Ray says, good to have differing opinions. Hell yes. Steve At, let's ban him, Deej. Ban him forever.
Gotta
read
it.
Along with the Fifth Element. Yeah, Steve At says, Fifth Element forever. Oh, Steve, we need to talk. We
happy
need
New
to talk.
Year.
Yeah, happy New Year. I'll tell him where to go.
Back to Transformers. Anyway.
Yeah. So, Transformers 1 from 2024, not quite last year, but nearly.
Not yet.
Yeah, so this is on 4K disc, Dolby Atmos. Missed it in theater. This was my first time seeing it. You quite liked this one, didn't you, DJ? It's a movie. Did you enjoy the movie?
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. I wanted to enjoy it more than I did because a lot of people said it was great. And you know, I know it died at the box office, and I think I know why. But a lot of people really, really liked it. And people that I respect and that, you know, that know their movies. But I was a bit underwhelmed by this. And I think the reason for it is, and I think this is why it didn't do well at the box office, they made a fatal error when they did this. And but it's a common one. And that is they've chosen legacy characters from a franchise that really would appeal to adults, really. I mean, people that were there back in the 80s when these came out. And so what they've done, though, is it's not scary enough. Sorry, it's not interesting enough for adults because they've kind of kidified it. Mm-hmm. But then, it panders then towards kids who don't care about these characters because they don't know who they are. And so you kind of get this thing where it falls between the two stools. So it's not engaging enough for the adults that love the characters, and it's not interesting enough for the kids because they don't know who these characters are, and it all kind of. So I think the movie falls between two stools, and I struggled with it a bit as a film. I thought it was just very average for me.
Yeah.
And I kind of got to the end of it thinking, why should I care about that? And did I need to see that story? Not really. However, the good news is, as a home theater presentation, it's really good. Yeah. I mean, it looks beautiful. I mean, you can get lost in the reflections from the metal of the bodies of the robots. I mean, I was finding myself just staring at these just to see how the reflections kind of went from the armor and then the little scratches and the dents and the marks on them and stuff. So I was more transfixed with that than the story, which again, Deej, as I've said to you before, if I'm concentrating on that, the story's not working, which is kind of what I was doing. But it did look beautiful. I mean, the HDR is lovely. The color, it just leaps off the screen. And at times it is really three-dimensional as well, talking about Wicked and stuff. This does have three-dimensionality to it. But it did do something with the Atmos track that has not happened to me before, I don't think. And that is the overhead channels kicked in at one point and actually made me jump.
Oh.
Now, that has not happened. I'm not sure at all.
What was
not
the scene? What scene was that?
This is where there's a sequence in a cave. Well, spoiler alert. You know, there's a sequence in a cave where these creatures sort of come down from above, and they come out of nowhere. And I literally jumped and flinched. It was like that. As these things came from above. And it was like, wow, okay, you know, you can't get much better than that. If it's enough to physically make you recoil from a from an audio cue. So that was very cool, and I did enjoy that. And they do, and there's lots of whooshing and racing and flying and all that, and it does go all around the room, and the bass is decent. It's not, I remember you saying it's not as deep as you wanted, and I'd agree with that. It could certainly have been deeper, but so it was okay. It'll stay in the collection. It's on the shelf. It's not going anywhere. It's not Midway, which is always, you know, damning with faint praise. So it'll go in the collection, but I'm not sure how often I'd see it again. I mean, I'd be more likely to rewatch the live action ones the way through, and they vary in quality quite significantly, but I'd be more likely to watch those through again, and I've got those all in 4K, than I would to watch this again. I think this is one to bring out when you've got a young audience that maybe just wants something very undemanding, and then you're like, oh, okay, well, here is Transformers 1. I'm not sure I would sit down and see it again anytime soon, just because, like I said, I don't think it really appeals to me as an adult, and again is just not interesting to kids, because they don't know who Megatron and Optimus Prime are, and even if they did, they wouldn't care, because they're like, well, that's from when you were a kid.
Right.
I see
what you're saying.
That seems to be the problem.
Yeah, it's like, I see what you're saying, where it's like, maybe you do something like this as an animated feature and then you're hoping to bring in a younger crowd.
Yeah,
but you're bringing in a younger crowd featuring a transform, maybe trying to jumpstart the franchise. Like, they see this, then they want to see the new, you know, the older stuff, which is the prequel to, which is hard to say out loud. Like, you see this, and then the older stuff, which is the new stuff. No, that doesn't make sense. But you know what I mean? I get what you're saying there, but I did think it was an interesting story, because just to see, because we just know these characters so well. They're the main characters, and to see that they, you know, where they came from, I thought was interesting, right? It's like, interesting enough to me, and then you add in the animation on it. I think that's the biggest, you know, star here is the animation. Yeah. The audio was very good. I wouldn't have, like the way you described it, I wouldn't put it way, way up there, but it's very good, very enveloping. I want to go back and check out that scene. Didn't make me jump.
I didn't get a timestamp, I must admit. But it's about halfway through, I think, but it definitely made me jump.
But it is a really good audio track. I mean, the Atmos is really good. It's there was another scene where they're being kind of chased in the open, and the same idea, like things are whooshing over their heads. So I remember that. But it is the video, the picture is just crazy good, good animation. And because remember, I watched the first Transformers, the original that came out, and then seeing, and then obviously getting that in Dolby Vision, that was the one of the first ones I was saying, like, oh my God, like Optimus and the scratches and the water on him. But then seeing this one as well, the same level of detail in the animation was really spectacular. But to be fair, you know, what's pretty funny is, like, even the original, you know, the quote live action, that's still animation. It's CGI, right? Yeah, it's all animation, you know? So it's like, you think it's like, this is animation because it's drawn. Well, so was Optimus in the other one. It's like, he's not real, you know?
It's all Norton ones. Yeah,
exactly. So it's, and we forget that's how good it is, right? That's how good CGI has gotten, that we're like, this is animation. That one's not. No, that's basically, you know,
real.
For all intents and purposes, that's Space Jam. The originals, you know, Transformers. It's all like live action people surrounded by animation, you know?
Yeah.
And we've forgotten that. That's how enveloped we get.
I think I'm in the minority with my view on this one then. So Jordan says in the chat, says he loved Transformers 1. Shame it underperformed. I think that's why it did, but, you know, who knows? I'm no expert.
Yeah.
He thought it was one of them that suffered from bad marketing this year still. Yep. Steve Atz says he saw T1 on streaming. That was good enough for me. Yeah,
I think he's in your camp.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah. Sorry, I misread that when I first saw it. And then, but Mikey says, I love T1. I thought the trailers looked terrible, much better than expected. Yeah. Okay, good. Like I said, I mean, that is what I heard, Mikey, again, from Deej as well, and from Jordan and others as well, had said, oh, you know, it's actually really good. But like I said, just it was average for me. I've seen better animated movies this year. And it just, as I said, just didn't quite do it. Although I do have to give a special shout out to Chris Hemsworth, because I've given him some grief this year. I did like his attempt to emulate Peter Cullen doing Optimus.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, at times, I was like, okay, have they morphed Peter Cullen? Is that what they've done? But he spent a lot of time with Peter Cullen, apparently, and learning to emulate the Optimus voice.
Yeah.
And at times you're thinking, okay, yeah, he's nearly there. It was a very good impression.
So, exactly. And it worked really well in that he shouldn't have that voice yet in this movie.
Yeah, quite. Yeah, perfect, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, and I felt like by the end of the movie, it was that much more accurate, right? Because you were getting closer to the reality. So I thought that was really, really interesting too. Mm. And I didn't hear that he had worked with Peter Cullen at all, but I felt exactly like you were saying. So
yeah, I thought that was quite cool. That did at least pique my interest a bit more. Yeah. So TSG says the movie was lacking something. Something was off. Yeah, I think I would agree with that, TSG. But again, I think that's because the characters, you know, that they're going slightly young. And then Mikey says, of course, being a Transformers kid, it was nostalgic, which is fine. And that, of course, is what the adults are supposed to get from it, is this Gen 1 Transformers. That's what I mean, of course, you get mention of GoBots, which I thought was very funny. I did think was funny. That's aimed directly at us that remember these from, you know, way back when.
Knockoff.
Yeah. But, apparently Hasbro bought GoBots as well, from what I understand. So they're all kind of part of the same multiverse. So the story goes.
Yeah.
Go to IMDb.
It must be true.
Yeah, well, obviously. But that's how they can get away with using the word GoBot in this, you see, rather than getting sued by Bandai, whoever it was that had them.
Speaking of which, I say we keep talking and I'm going to bring that up.
Yeah. So as I said, I think that's the issue with it. I wanted to like it more than I did. I may enjoy it again down the line if I watch it with someone more age appropriate that really wants to see it. But after a first viewing, I'm in no massive rush to see it again, but I will keep hold of it. So that's as good as I can say about it.
Yeah. Where is it? I got to find it. Here we go.
Yeah.
So, John Mensor brought this up. Him and his brother were on just in today's Takeover Tuesday. I don't know if you've heard that. Yeah.
I haven't had a chance yet. No,
oh, my God. So much fun talking to him. Hazard comes out on the 10th. His brother Eddie wrote, directed, produced. Just awesome having him on and having John and his brother Eddie on. It was really, really fun. So check that out. That's today's Takeover Tuesday. So he wrote in, Pepsi bought Pizza Hut in 1976. They bought Taco Bell in 1976. Yes.
Okay.
In 1977. So they owned both chains when making Demolition Man. They spun off both into a separate company, Yum Brands, and added KFC in the 90s. That's why you see the KFC Taco Bell combos and why all three only serve Pepsi products. But so that's one company manipulating the movie.
Okay.
Isn't that pretty cool?
Well, funnily enough, it's funny you say that, Deej, because yesterday in London, there was a Taco Bell. It's the only one I've ever seen outside of the US. There was one.
It sound like you saw it running down the street.
Well,
like,
I did. I tried to stop it.
It was here briefly, and then it just fell in the ocean.
But it's rarer than anything. We don't have them here. To you guys, you got a ten a penny. But I saw a Taco Bell in London. They're everywhere. There was one. Yeah. But not here. Oh, well. So there you go.
But now you can watch any version of Demolition Man you want.
Yay! With the terrible ADR. But then again, if they knew they were going to do that at the beginning, they should have done an alternate take. They should have just had them say Pizza Hut, done.
I wonder if they didn't know when they were filming. Because when you're filming it, you're not working out the contracts of sponsorships and stuff like that. So let's see. What was the other one that might as well? No, actually. I guess. Well, this is all of mine, right? Oh, you know what? I'll bring it. I wanted to tie it in with what you were just talking about, but I guess I won't. I'll go back to this holiday treat very quickly before you get to your next one. But, here we go. This was a lot of fun. This one will be very quick because I've done this, but I did watch it this week. So here we go. Iron Man 3. Now, everybody, before you, like, just clean up around you, if you just spit your coffee out, like, why is he talking about this yet again? Okay? It's a good movie. Don't argue with me. Argue with Brent Butterworth when I had him on a couple years ago and we were picking a movie and I gave him some choices of funny holiday action movies to do. And Brent's like, all right, what the heck? Let's do Iron Man 3. And when we're talking quote unquote behind the scenes, he's like, I'm saying I really like it. It's a lot of fun. And he's like, all right. He's like, I'll bring in the other side of it and we'll have some fun with it. Well, damn it all, he enjoyed it. And that's better than The Godfather. There you go. So I put this on. It, again, it had the Dolby Vision. I wanted to check that out and see, which again, Dolby Vision, HDR, just with the upgrade on the Lumigen. This has some really nice firework scenes at the end when, the clean slate protocol and everything. Boom, boom, boom. That's really nice. Iron Man suits, period, through all three movies. Looks so good. Like I talked about in the first one, the stuff you see inside, like the spandex or whatever he's wearing, the detail you see on that when the suit's being put on him and everything. But the level this went to, the opening, not the opening scene, but the scene when the Mandarin just like blows up his house and he's flying one way, Pepper's flying another way. The detail, it looked almost 3D. It looked really, really good. If you can't have fun watching these Iron Man movies, I don't know what you're doing with your time, because I mean, you come out of it, you don't go into them seriously, and it's like, I mean, they are just so much fun. It's such great home theater movies. And then you got the sarcasm of Tony Stark. I mean, I wish there was an Iron Man 4, 5, 6, because I could watch Robert Downey Jr. play Tony Stark all day long. And like when he's talking to that kid and he's in the car, he's like, "You're going to abandon me like your father?" "Yeah, you know why I know? We're connected." And he pulls off on the little kid. He's like ruining this 10-year-old little kid. He doesn't care. It's just so great. And then obviously watching Endgame, and you see that kid was there. They use that same kid in at the end scene there. So, home theater wise, it is, I don't care what you say. I mean, beginning to end, it's just a treat. This movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then if you have a well-calibrated system, well-calibrated display, just enjoy. I mean, it's just so, so good. So good. And the explosions, the deep blacks in the background, or the deep blues, I should say, in the night sky, but then seeing the smoke and the differences, it's just really, really good. And, the audio, I don't care about what they say about Disney audio. It's fantastic. So,
I really like Iron Man 3. I just think that Guy Pearce is criminally underused because he's such a good actor, and he should have been in a bigger role in the MCU. They should bring him back into something else. He's so good. In another universe, he's Tony Stark. He's very, very good. He could do that all day long. Although, if we're talking comic book characters, I still think Guy Pearce should have been the Joker at some point. He should have been Joker.
Yeah.
He would have been amazing in that role. And if you've ever seen, the movie Lockout? Have you ever seen that? Directed The Fifth Element? Luke Bessel. Luke Bessel wrote this treatment for this, and it was his production company that did it. It's basically a ripoff of Escape from New York, but the idea is there's a prison floating in space, and the president's daughter's kidnapped, and Guy Pearce is the Snake Plissken character that has to sort of go in and kind of rescue her. It's a fantastic film. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it if you can find it. It's a really cheesy B movie, but Guy Pearce is playing a role he's never played before. It's the sort of cocky, know-it-all, doesn't care action kind of guy, and he would have been a great Joker. I just wish and so when he popped up in Iron Man 3, I just thought they needed to give him more as Killian, I can't think of what his surname is, and he just was criminally underused. I would have am I saying it right? I don't know, it's been a while since I've seen Iron Man 3, but I always thought he should have had a bigger role in the MCU. He should have been doing something else. But he is still good in it as well.
He does actually have a pretty big role. And like Jordan's saying here, he's like, "Have noticed the reception to Iron Man 3 has improved with fans since the release of Shang-Chi, and how that utilized the Mandarin and Ben Kingsley's reprising his role." Mm. And meaning that the Mandarin in the Ten Rings, that whole underground,
organization.
Organization. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to see that the threads have always been there. It's like, we didn't notice. We were like, "Oh, they didn't utilize the Mandarin right. They didn't do, but maybe they did. And maybe it was a bigger role at the time, or maybe he's not the Mandarin. He was being utilized to utilize Ben Kingsley that way. And then the other part is the beginning of this movie, it not only does it go to Shang, this movie connect Shang-Chi, but it also, the original Iron Man in the opening scene, the character that saves his life in the first one is in this movie as well. They went back to that, you know, in that opening New Year's Eve scene, Steve. New Year's Eve, this takes place. This movie starts
there
at.
There you go. There look you at go. That.
Like the tie-ins are everywhere. It's like we rehearsed this, Steve. It's insane. So,
that New Year's Eve party was at the Grill on Main, wasn't it, DJ?
Yes, the Grill on Main on the rooftop.
There you go.
Yeah, where he stood and watched for the first 20 minutes and then thought of jumping. And then he was like, changed his mind. Yeah. But anyways. Try the wings. They're good. Oh, all right. This one here, I'm very interested to hear your take on. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I heard a sigh. Maybe. Wow. Oh, it's 2025. Not going to be a good year.
Let's see.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so this then is the 2024 Speak No Evil with James McAvoy and others. And you've seen the Kaleidoscape version of this when you did, and you talked about that a while back. So this is only on Blu-ray. It's another one of these Universal release strategy movies whereby they give you the Blu-ray and they give you 7.1 audio. I think it's True HD, Dolby True HD. I think that's what I put in the notes. I think that's what it is. So they give you, so upmixed to Dolby Surround. They give you, so you get the Blu-ray only, you get 7.1 audio, and, you know, the 4K disc will be out next year. This is just what Universal are doing with everything, it seems to me. So anyway, so this was the Blu-ray. Now, this was my first time of watching it. I had a screener. I'd seen the first 10-15 minutes and not for any quality issues. I just got distracted, never went back to it, and knowing that I'd get the disc when it came out. So I got it and I watched it first watch. I think it's patchy, this film. I think because a brief setup for those that don't know, this is our hero family, a husband, wife, and their young daughter go on holiday to Italy. They encounter another couple and their son whilst they're over there. James McAvoy plays the father of that other couple, and they sort of strike up a friendship. Our hero couple think that James McAvoy's family are a bit odd, but they're not. They don't sort of spot any danger signs, and they are asked to go and visit them when they get back to England, which they do, and then things begin to unravel from there. So I think it's patchy. I was becoming a bit irritated by the passive-aggressive stuff kind of when they get back to England initially. I became a bit irritated by it because it's like we're using a sledgehammer to crack a nut now. We've got the point. We know the story. We know where this is going. Can we just cut to the chase a little bit? Because it was beginning to irritate and irk me. And this sort of story is always tricky because you want people to be kind of uncertain enough. You want your characters to still maintain the air of politeness to not say, get stuffed. And I think if your audience doesn't go along with that, and I had already tipped over into the, I'd have got this guy and I'd have knocked his block off long before you get to the reveal of kind of things not going right. And so I was losing patience with the movie in the middle section. And I was like, you know, come on, this is just stupid now. And the coincidences are mounting up. And this guy needs a good kicking. And that he's not been given it is now frustrating me. And I don't think the movie wants you to do that. I think the movie wants you to keep the air of politeness. You know, what would you do? Well, I'd keep the politeness going. Anyway, so I began to lose patience in the middle. However, when it kind of kicks into gear, and it does kick into gear,
there's no segue. It just boom. You're like, wait, what? Because that in. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No. I had that same thing, but I think they did it on purpose. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. When it does, when we do get some comeuppance, when we get some movement of the story forward, it then becomes more. I mean, entertaining might be the wrong word, but it's more interesting. And I was engaged then, and I like how it resolved. You know, I agree with you. It does happen very quickly. But I liked how they then resolved it. That I enjoyed that more. And suddenly it was like, okay, I'm more on board with this film. Because come the middle of it, I was like, oh, do you know what? I'm kind of had enough of this. And I'm not sure how much more of this I'm going to be able to take before I decide I don't care anymore. So, but it just as I was getting to that point, we then have the ending. So yeah, overall it was interesting. I will see it again. I'll get the 4K disc because I'm a sucker for this stuff. So I will get the 4K disc because it'll have Dolby Atmos, and I'll give it another go. So as a movie, it's patchy. Some good, some not. Worth seeing though, and I would certainly not say to someone, don't see it. I actually think should, because it'll start conversations. It's worth seeing it, I think, with a significant other or a good friend, because I think there are conversations to be had about at what point would you have smashed him in the teeth, or how would you have extricated yourself from this without smashing him in the teeth? That's your other kind of there's a discussion to be had there.
and I mean, I don't want to talk spoilers, but I'd love to. At some point, but everything you're describing, I could talk spoiler free. And it's like, I think the reason that it jumped the way it did to like, there is no like gradual, it's just like flipping a switch.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that happen? But you described it perfectly, Steve, the way you said like, oh my God, come on. It seemed like, and I said the same thing. It seemed like it was slow and methodical, the entire movie, the way it goes. And I think the purpose of that is, in a way, that's real life. Like a lot of the stuff they're doing in the early parts, spoiler free, is like you have to take out the part of as a viewer that you pretty much know where this is going. In real life, you're like, no, this can't be real. Right? There's that disbelief. Like nobody would go that do what we already know is going to happen. So you don't put yourself in those situations. And it's like, the phrase, the last straw. You know, it's that straw doesn't weigh a lot, but a bunch of them does. And what finally tips you over, it's like that one little piece. And you're like, if you just told people that one piece, they'd be like, that's nothing. Oh no, but listen to all this other stuff. That's what makes it seem like they flipped the switch. Right. And you're like, and I thought it was a great representation of that. And even the title alone, speak no evil, right? Like you don't talk about it. So nobody knows. It's like, they didn't say anything. They don't want to speak about it. They don't want to, even the family, they don't want to talk, the husband, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, they don't want to believe what's going on right in front of them until it's there. And you're like, bam, flip the switch. And I think it's very interesting looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to look at it from more of a microcosm of the story in terms of my engagement with it. But there's definitely a discussion about in real life, when you encounter these people, how do you? I mean, it might say more about my personality maybe, but how do you extricate yourself from people like this that are not as extreme as this in real life, or do you go, right, sunshine, you're going to have some. And that's all there is to it. And I might have gone for the latter, not the former.
You are known to say that they didn't die enough.
Well enough. They need to die more.
No, just
die enough. Hard. Die harder. I did find it interesting.
Meanwhile, everybody, he is a defense lawyer.
Well, there you go. Yes. Well, defense takes many forms.
I don't know if your clients want to hear this show.
Yeah, well, that'll be all right.
When you've been bad, you deserve to die badly.
Well, yeah, like, really.
That's my lawyer right there.
That's what. Well, luckily, I can argue it from any point if I have to.
Exactly.
You're very good
at what you do. Clearly.
So it's an interesting kind of story that I will see again, and I might enjoy it more second time knowing where we're going with it. Now the video on it is solid for a Blu-ray. I can see, but having seen so many 4K discs now, I mean, I can see exactly where the 4K disc will improve on it. You can see how the sharpness is lacking. You can see where the colors would be enhanced. The whole thing, by the way, is shot in Croatia, which is interesting. I mean, because it looks like England to me, and there must be parts of England they could have shot this, but the whole thing was shot in Croatia anyway. Thank you, IMDb. Which I thought was interesting because it looked like England, and I thought I recognized the place, but I've never been to Croatia, so clearly didn't. So it was So it looked really nice, but the 4K disc is definitely going to improve on this, or the Kaleidoscape version, I'm sure, is much better. The audio was decent. It's interesting because it's to me, bearing in mind it was upmixed to Dolby Surround, it seems to me to rely more on atmospherics than anything else. So the whistle of the wind, of the trees moving in the background, in the silences, the awkward silences, you then can hear the stuff going. So it's more evocative as an audio track than it's not a pulse pounding action pack. No. Even there are guns going off in it, but they're only pops. They're not, howitzer style guns. They're quite realistic in that way. So it's an interesting presentation of an interesting movie that I will see again at some point, but probably not on Blu-ray. I'll wait for the 4K disc. So yeah, an interesting film, and you can certainly discuss it ad nauseum afterwards as to what you
and
would
McAvoy?
Do. Yeah,
insane.
I mean, he's ripped
insane
to hell.
Though his acting in this, his facial expressions, his, I mean, it's. You know, Dorky has a, I think they're going to have a Dorky for like acting with your face. He has to be up there. It's amazing how like, just like he's like, oh my God, scary as hell.
Yeah, he's ripped in this. He got ripped during COVID. This was shot just after COVID. So he spent the whole time. If you listen to the Smartless episode that he did with him, he talks about how he just spent the time in the gym. And so he was absolutely born to play the role at this particular time, because he doesn't normally look like that. He's normally quite pasty and skinny and all the rest of it. So, well, he's British. He's Scottish. I mean, it's just kind of
like
going
getting
in the territory.
Ripped puts a tan on you.
Well, he's clearly been in the tanning salon as well. Well, but he just looks normally kind of quite gaunt and that kind of stuff. But he certainly doesn't in this.
I had a very good friend that was a bodybuilder, but he just loved to do it. But he was Irish through and through, red hair, covered in freckles. He's like, whole body covered. He's like, I could never compete because you can't tan that up. But he just loved doing it. He's all bodybuilding. I mean, he was ripped to shreds. Mm. And he went through all the cycles. He did everything that you have to do to compete. But he just never could because you can't tan that up. You could. This was back in the 80s and 90s. Mm. So maybe now you just spray yourself down with a solid color, I guess.
Yeah, creosote.
He was like literally just covered. He's like, if I had just a few more freckles, he would have been tan. He just would have been one giant freckle.
Join the dots. Yeah.
But it was too many spaces. Like he needed 4K, not 480i.
Or indeed 480i, not 4K. You wouldn't have seen it.
Exactly.
So Jordan says, Steve, have you seen the original 2022 Danish-Dutch version? No, I haven't, Jordan. And I've heard of it, and I know the ending is very different and very dark. From what I understand, I don't think things don't resolve themselves in the same way, put it that way. Yeah. And this story can very much go either way. And I can see why they would have chosen the much more, shall we say, I don't know, dramatically satisfying way that they've chosen in this than the way they could have gone. Because I get the impression that this could have been just one more, notch on the gatepost, if you know what I mean. I get that. I can see where this could have a funny game style ending rather than the one you get. But
so the original is more of a prequel.
It's earlier. That's right. What, I mean, I don't know that for sure, but it's darker. I know it's much darker, and that's the natural conclusion, isn't it? The logical next step. So I don't put people off it. If you are intrigued, you should see it.
It has its jump scares. Mm-hmm. Had some, when I watched this, there were some jump scares for sure.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Nope. All right. All right. Well, everybody, it is that time of year again. That's the wrong one. Why didn't they go in order? Now I gotta. All right, we're gonna start this again. Take two. Actually, you know what? Please hold.
Your call is important to us.
Yes, exactly. So one, two. I actually do have. You know what? Let's save this for the end and we'll do this one. I forgot I even had this one. I didn't tell you this yet. All right, we'll bring this one.
I figured you would, though, because I know it was out when Shane was on last week. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. It is that time of year again. We're going to talk Gladiator 2.
Gladiator harder.
Where's John? Where's John? Where's John? How could he?
not Gladiator more.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Hey, John. Hey, John. Oh, I said it quickly.
Yeah, not quick enough.
I wasn't going to go any slower.
Oh.
Mikey, cover the kids' ears.
not as much as she was. All right. Now, so Gladiator 2 as well. Also.
In addition to.
Gripes. Yeah, Ronald's rolling over in his grave.
Yeah, back on track, people. Back on track, people.
Back on track. Yeah, all right. So, it's that time of year again.
The sequel to Gladiator.
The sequel to that Spartan movie. No. You saw this, right?
Yeah,
you didn't enjoy it. Yeah.
No, I was a first time watch. I didn't enjoy it, but I caveat that with the really front heavy presentation of the movie in the theater that I saw it. Like the surround speakers were disconnected. I think there was just no surround at all. I might as well have been watching it on a TV with normal speakers. But no, I didn't enjoy it first time around. No. What did you think? Oh, do tell.
I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Having just seen, I just seen Gladiator, a few weeks ago with my son. And what I found it really interesting about the story is the beginning. It's like you're being hit with all of these names, and listening to the hashtag Dork podcast, and Ryan gets deep into the mythology of all this, or the history, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that crap amazes me because I'm like, I can't remember this stuff. But but there is some truth to this stuff. There is, based in quote unquote fact or whatever. They took names from the history books and put them in a different scenario, So what I find is with movies like this, and you get all these different characters and stuff, you tend to get a little bit overwhelmed and be like, oh my God, am I going to remember who's who here? How does this relate to the first one? And I'll tell you, by the end of it, it's a movie unto itself, but who's watching this that hasn't seen the first one, right?
Come on,
right? I'm telling you, you don't have to have seen the first one recently.
No.
But when you see this, by the end of the movie, you'll know every single character. You'll feel for every single character. And it plays out exactly how a sequel should. I thought it was I did not walk away from this thinking I didn't need that movie. I wasn't thinking they didn't need to make this movie. I was thinking that was a really, really good time. Oh. It's a very, very good home theater experience. I wouldn't say it's reference. I thought everything was great, but I'm not going to go, whoa, my God. It's like, I can't stamp scenes. I'm not going to tell you all that, but it's definitely see it in your, the best theater that you have, since it's not in a theater anymore. I would definitely recommend the physical over the streaming. Mm-hmm. Because of the detail, because of the costumes, because of the sound is going to be elevated. The bass was very, very nice. I mean, it was very enveloping. The entire movie had a great time with it. It's like, what, 230, 240? It's not a short movie.
Yeah, it's not crazy long. I think it's 2.5, 220, 230, something like that, I think. Yeah, I don't think it's kind of crazy length, yeah.
And, but here, let me see. I'll look it up.
Yeah, go on.
Let's see.
228. There you go.
228. So with trailers, you're talking 220, 218. Mm-hmm. Not trailers, I'm sorry. Credits.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what's his name? The Mandalorian Lucius. There.
Sorry, you got me now. Playing the general.
Pedro Pascal.
That's him.
Yeah. Awesome. I thought Denzel Washington, amazing. I thought he was so good in this. Mm. I love Denzel Washington in this. The full arc, that is, right? The full arc of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Ridley Scott type movie. It's the action, the scale. The main character, you got, what is it?
Paul Mescal as Lucius.
Yeah. Yes. It's do I know him from anything else?
He was in a series here that was something like Good People or something. He's not a mega star yet, although this would have helped him on his way. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're saying would have. I thought he was great.
Yeah, I thought he was miscast. What didn't you like? In this. I just thought he was just flat, ultra flat, just thuddingly.
Really?
Yeah, bear in mind, I mean, again, we'll avoid spoilers, but there are times in this, bear in mind, he's supposed to be Maximus's son, which, by the way, undercuts all the stuff from the first Gladiator about his wife and kid. But anyway, let's ignore that for a minute. Apparently, he's had kids with someone else, which is a bit odd, you know, but anyway. It's all about his wife and his son in the first one, and that's what upsets him. But he's apparently been, you know, off with someone else. Anyway.
Yeah, but I think, I having just seen Gladiator, I thought they even mentioned it in that. Like, what the heck just happened here?
Well, press the button. Like,
yeah.
All right.
Something's going off here. What the heck was that?
Oh, yeah, it's still going.
What is playing?
Had a sounder?
Yeah, no, something in the background here is playing on one of my, on my computer.
I think it's stopped now. I think you're okay now.
Yeah, it just did.
Yeah, so you're right. Yeah, so,
yeah, I guess so, I'm good. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Sorry.
That's okay. So Paul Mescal. So there are times in this where he is supposed to be giving the rousing battle speech, which has been rousing, you know, since Braveheart and again in Gladiator as well, where you've heard the, you know, where Maximus at the beginning, of course, gives his speech to the troops about if you find yourself in fields with the sun on your back, you are in Elysium and you're already dead. You know, these rousing speeches, which tend to kind of work well. His are dreadful, like terrible, just like, yeah, death's not coming for us today. Death's not here. We're going to fight. And they're all like, yeah. And I'm like, why?
I didn't get that. I felt like the way he acted was true to the character that he is. Yeah. I did not feel that at all. I'm glad I didn't really, if you said that before, I'm glad I didn't remember. I'm like, cause I really was watching this and like, no, this is like, I, and the other part is like, I was having a hard time figuring out who was who as this played out. Right. So I'm like, which one of the ones I'm supposed to, and then by the end, you know who everybody is and you're like, oh, they're all tied together and who the good guys, the bad guys and all that. And yeah, I thought it was very well done in that regard. Yeah.
Well, I might enjoy it more the second time around. I mean, I didn't feel there was the driving force of the earlier movie. And again, as I said before, like a few weeks back, I love Gladiator. Gladiator to me is one of the best films of this century. I think it's a masterpiece. I love that film. Every frame of that movie is a movie, you know, I love it. And the driving force of that movie is Maximus trying to first get to his family. That's the beginning. And then trying to avenge his family, that's the rest. And in this, you get such a fast introduction to Lucius's wife that it never lands. You never feel the bond between them. And then later on, when that should be an issue, it's not, because it's just click your fingers and it's gone. And then the vengeance that he may or may not feel towards Pedro Pascal's character never felt developed to me at all. And then when all that kind of goes away as well, it just, I don't know, there were no action scenes in this that I thought came close to the opening battle sequence in Germania in the first one, to the Colosseum fight with Tigris of Gaul in the first one, to the personal stakes with Commodus in the first one. It was all very, very flat. But again, I use that word deliberately because, again, as I say, the experience I had was poor. You know, it looked great, but the sound was weak, was really weak. Enough for me to be looking around the auditorium during the movie because I was thinking, what's going on with these speakers? So I need to see it again. I will get the 4K disc. I'm going to give it a go in Cinema George. I might like it more. But I think the story issues that I've got are going to remain.
Yeah.
I might be a bit more engaged in the action, but I still don't think there's anything in this that rivals the quality of the first one. I would say, again, different opinions are available, buddy. I think this story didn't need to be told. I didn't need to see the story. The first one is so good. This is an add-on sequel that didn't need to be made. And bearing in mind, we talked before about it when John saw it and when I saw it initially as well, there have been so many kind of fantastical scripts in the last 20 years, including Maximus going to hell and being sent back to get revenge and seek vengeance on behalf of Rome. This just felt like it might as well have been called Spartacus the movie. You remove all the references to Maximus and it would have been the same film. I wouldn't have felt any kind of better or worse about it. So I was disappointed, but I take your point, and I'm glad that you said that it's a good home cinema experience because that then gives me hope that if I buy it, and which I will, and see it again, which I will, that I'll get more from it this time around. But I'm not certain.
Yeah. Martin J is asking in the chat. He says, I've only seen the trailers, DJ. I thought the CGI looked so fake, but that was just the trailer. How was it in the movie? I thought it was good. It was really good.
The balloons are a bit weird. They're space monkeys.
Yeah, because they don't look like anything that is real.
No.
It's not the CGI that isn't real. It's like, I don't think I've ever seen a baboon that looks like that.
No.
To be fair, it's like, it's not like how well did they render it on screen. It's what they rendered on screen, right? You know, it could have been talking octopus. It looked perfect on the screen, but that doesn't exist. So you're like, that's what takes you out of it. So I thought, you know, all the sharks, I thought all of the different things that they had in there, I thought, you know, not for a second was I watching my screen and going, ooh, that doesn't look right. Not at all. Now, if you want to put a discerning eye to it and you're really now like Martin, like he's seen and now he might go at it and go, well, see, that looked a little fake. Well, yeah, if you want to really put it like a microscope on it and look at it, then maybe you're going to see some flaws, but you could do that with anything. I mean, I remember the days back when I first got the laser disc of Star Wars and you could literally see the cutout difference between the black space sky, and then it was a slightly different haze, and it wasn't a perfect square. It was like literally cut out the way the things move. And you're like, oh, that didn't go right. But of course, they cleaned all that up. But only the discerning eye would see that.
Yeah, that certainly wasn't really much of my issue. I think it's it was much more of the story and the mounting of it. But I am looking forward to seeing it again. I was underwhelmed. Bear in mind also, I did go in there with John Thompson's words from the 25-hour podcast ringing in my ear, which said it was crap.
And yeah, he didn't like it.
No, not at all. And so I did have that in the back of my mind. I'm hoping I like it more. I like Ridley Scott. He's, Denzel Washington, I like him. Paul Mescal, I don't feel anything towards him at all. Pedro Pascal, again, generally I like him. And Connie Nielsen too. I mean, she was very good in the original. So, you know, we'll see. But I'm looking forward to it. And I'm more interested now, DJ, that you've said that. So thank you for that.
Yeah. There you go. You're very welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We got 8 minutes till you're you're ahead of my time.
A year ahead of you.
A year ahead of me. All right. What do we got up next? Oh my God. Are we going to ring in the new year with this?
We can do if you want
or
to.
Or is there something else you'd like to ring in the new year?
Let's see. What have we got? Should we want to do the top one there? Yeah, let's do that one. I'll have to be quick, but we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll do this and we'll do the new year and I'll be very quick with what it is the time of year for. I'll be very quick about that. But hey, this hopefully All signs are pointing to a great new year. Take it away, Steve, with his next movie.
So this is Signs, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. Very recently redone in 4K and in the DTS HD 5.1. Don't think it's Atmos. Now I'm wondering. What did I put in the comments? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Can't remember. I can't remember. I think it's DTS HD 5.1. Jordan, help me out. Anyway, I'll tell you in the meantime. So, M. Night Shyamalan film. I absolutely love this movie. This is one of my favorite ones of his. It came out the same day as The Sixth Sense, which I haven't rewatched
yet. It's Dolby Vision, HDR 4K, HDR Dolby Vision, and DTS 5.1 on Kaleidoscape.
Right.
So I imagine it's probably the same on the disc.
It would make sense, yeah. So it would be upmixed to NeuralX anyway.
Yeah,
I think this movie is a masterpiece. I absolutely love this.
So good.
And it's very, very well done, and possibly Shyamalan's best for me. I prefer this to The Sixth Sense. And it's
crossover of Braveheart and Gladiator too.
Indeed, yeah, absolutely, yeah, it's all there.
Yeah. There you go.
So it's really, really good, and I thoroughly enjoyed it again. I've had the Blu-ray for ages. I haven't seen it for a while. Watching it in 4K, great. Really enjoyed it again. It has not lost its tension. It still builds perfectly. Looks great. I think it's an original camera negative remaster, so it looks fantastic. It's all done 1.85 and lots of close-ups, so of Mel Gibson, obviously Joaquin Phoenix, and the detail on their shirts, the pores and the marks on their faces. It's razor sharp. It looks great. And then the audio is very, very nice indeed. So it is your original, I think, DTS HD track, but in NeuralX, it's great. So when they're in the basement and the creatures are upstairs, you can hear them upstairs. So if you're lucky enough to have a basement home theater, Deej, it does sound like they are walking upstairs in your house, which is a very cool effect and really good. And it worked really well in mine, even though mine's in a garage, but it still sounded genuinely like they were upstairs walking around on the roof. And when the tension's been built as well as it has in this movie, that is really affecting. Oh, and this, of course, also does what we have said before that we love. Yeah, well done. Thanks, Jordan. Yeah, he said it's DTS HD 5.1. Absolutely. This does what we thought about in Kill Bill, Volume 2. And what was the one I was saying about the other day? I can't remember what it was, where the screen goes black, the audio does not, and you then hear what's going on. So the struggle and the fear and everything that's going on then is purely in the audio space, and it works a treat. It's really good. If you haven't seen this for a while, then, or even if you have and you like the movie, do yourself a favor and get this, give it another go, because it's a masterpiece of tension building and an absolute incredible denouement. How this kind of resolves itself is a thing of beauty. I haven't quite figured out why how this resolves itself would make you go back to being a man of God, but that's for another day. I've not always thought that that's the only thing that's a bit weird. Not sure why this would give you faith, because there's nothing in the Bible about aliens. So how is it?
There's nothing in there that they don't exist either.
Well, I'm pretty sure that if God made the world in 7 days, he didn't have time to make aliens, I'm thinking. But anyway.
Well, there's more than 1 week in a year.
Yeah, but he did the whole thing in 7 days. He rested on the seventh day.
The world. Come on, I could go around and around with you, Steve, all day long on this one. You guys seem so like, what's God been doing since then?
Everything in it.
What did he do before then?
But the idea here is,
God took one, he only worked 1 week in his life?
Hey, man, the idea, though, that how this resolves itself, because I'm looking at the clock, the idea that how this resolves itself would make you believe in God, I think is not right anyway.
Well, but nevertheless.
Anyhow, but it's great the way it does. I like how it resolves itself. I like how it builds itself up. I like how it does it. It's fantastic as a film, a masterpiece, I think, pretty close.
And it's great. Exactly. And you know what's so funny is, like, tongue in cheek, all of that stuff, I could argue the exact opposite. I could let you switch, and go the other way. And, like, all these sides, it's the human ability to see the good in certain things, to see the meaning in this thing. And I could argue it's not that. It's not God. Yeah. It's us looking at it through a different perspective. This is one of those movies that, and I talked about it today's Takeover Tuesday with Eddie, and writing into, like, everything means something. right? Mm-hmm. And this movie just like, it epitomizes it. It's in the title, for God's sakes, right? Yeah. That's amazing what it did. And the flashback scenes and they're doing in this I love this movie. You could discuss
beautifully
this.
Constructed.
My God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is what makes, what was the one, the latest M. Night that I didn't like? I know we got 2 minutes before we have to, I don't even have a sounder. But,
it's the Trap is the one you didn't like.
Yeah. And I'm like, you go from this, that is an absolute masterpiece, so you could sit down and we could discuss this for 8 hours straight, and then Trap, and you're like, what the heck? What did he write that, like, while he was driving a car? Like, it doesn't match up, you know, with my expectations, so.
Yeah, this is beautifully made. I mean, this and Sixth Sense were, you know, great, although I haven't watched my 4K version of that yet, because I went straight to this, because I think this is his absolute masterpiece for sure. It's great, and the 4K disc just makes it better, and again, it's not lost its power. Even bearing in mind how old this movie is now, it hasn't lost its power. It still rings true in terms of the idea of mass hysteria and what can happen and how do it. And again, with COVID, you could read that into this as well in terms of how people will deal with it. Anyway, we've got less than a minute, Deej. So
less than a minute. Do you have seconds there, buddy?
Yeah, I've got a countdown clock here.
All right, you've got it's your New Year's, so we've got to get this.
Yeah, we could talk a little bit, you know, for another few seconds yet if we're going to be smooth about it.
We're going to be, we're not Dick Clark here. I mean, we're the ball.
Dick.
Yeah, exactly. The ball ain't dropping here yet, but maybe later.
Yeah, well, you never know.
It will. Over at midnight for the kids. You know, midnight, the ball drops.
How you see the New Year indeed is a matter for you.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Okay, so we have got 15 seconds, ladies and gents.
There we go.
We already hear
countdown is on for Steve. Happy New Year. 2025.
9, 8, 7, 6.
There we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year, everybody.
Whoop, frog button. Oh, hey, we got poppers.
And you're very good health, Deej.
There we go. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. That. Oh, hey, yeah, smooth. Look, little stuff everywhere. Right.
Crazy. Yeah, look at you. You got champagne ready to go and everything.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. That's been there for 2 hours. It's warm and it's flat. Oh. look.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm not proud of it anyway. It's not as nice as the champagne at the Bar and Grill on Main.
Yeah, it's about the only time of year I drink champagne. Yeah. My buddy right across the street we go to, and he does the whole spread, and it's like they pour champagne for everybody. Oh, and then him and I each get a bottle. So, like, I kind of go like flat all night long till midnight, and then all bets are off after that. Yeah. Good night.
Can you hear the fireworks? Can you hear? Not. It's going absolutely bananas out there.
Nice.
Going crazy. So Happy New Year from 2025. I can tell you it's fairly similar to 2024 so far. We haven't had a Terrifier movie this year yet, so it's very disappointing.
Oh, that's a shame. Nice.
All righty. So did you say you had another one you wanted to do, Deej, quickly?
Yeah, you got a few minutes now that we're into, let's get into 2025 with some new material. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Some new material here. Yeah. Let's go with, here we go. This is that time of year. Ooh. So sat down this week, had a couple, two, 3 minutes to spare. So I hit up Lord of the Rings 1, the Fellowship of the Ring, the extended edition. Don't let the timestamp fool you. It says it's like over 4 hours, but there's like, I think it's like almost like an hour long, hour long credits at the end because of all the special credits and everything. So it really is, it's like 3+ hours. But then rolled right into, this is on Christmas Day, in the afternoon, rolled right into the Lord of the Rings 2, the Two Towers after that. I got about halfway through that before, you know, Christmas Day had to take place. So I had some time. And then if you're watching this at home on YouTube, you can see, actually I'll back it up. See, I have Lord of the Rings 1, then they're all right there on the Kaleidoscape rolled right into Two Towers, did half of the second half of Two Towers, rolled right into Return of the King. And then after that, watched that, I think in three settings, because I didn't have that much time through the rest of the week, rolled in from the end of that, right into the Lord of the Rings, the War of Rohirrim. Yeah, Rohirrim.
Yeah. I don't know. You've seen it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Martin J. Nothing like flat champagne. So no, yeah, really so
it tastes horrible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Tastes like not gonna lie, tastes like piss. So oh boy, it's after hours somewhere, right?
Warm piss as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what the way it is.
Yeah.
Don't have to specify. If it's cold, it's been around a while. Jeez. All right. So the new animated Lord of the Rings. First off, what can I say about the original trilogy? When it came out, it was demo material. I don't feel that way anymore. After all of the 4K we've gotten, all of the features we've got, the movies that have been up converted or whatever, or restored or remastered. I don't want to say it's showing its age. It's amazing. I love it. I'm just not as blown away as I was when it first came out. And, if you remember that year that it came out, it's like Jeff from HD Report, we did each movie throughout the year. And I mean, he loves the movies. I love the movies. I watch these every year. I'm not sure John got, I haven't talked to him yet. I'm not sure if he got to do his. He does the same thing every year, Christmas time, watches all three. It sounds amazing, looks amazing, but it just doesn't have that air of like, you know, excellence that it had when it first came out. And it's not, I don't think that it dropped. I just think everything's been elevated around it, really. It's hard, like I said a couple of weeks ago on the Takeover Tuesday, it's hard to impress us now. And that being said, Lord of the Rings, the new animated feature that John saw in theaters. We'll talk about it when he comes on the show, but he enjoyed it. I enjoyed the story. Other reason I wanted to get to this right now is because we talked about Transformers and Transformers 1 and how the animation on that was just absolutely amazing. I did hear that, Steve. What was that?
Somebody hit a window? Absolutely great. No, man, it's right.
Yeah, it sounded like somebody. Yeah.
We might have been moved to Ukraine. Yeah,
exactly. Like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
That ain't New Year's.
Yeah.
This one, the sound was good. I would say almost very good.
Okay.
But, I mean, there was some good effects. There was some talking from the back of the room. There was some stuff going. I mean, it was nice. Okay, it was good. The animation, though, was so, I don't want to say rudimentary, but I'm going to. It didn't impress. I was like, I was kind of disappointed, especially for a Lord of the Rings movie where, you know, the original, all the special effects, everything that they put in. I get why they're doing animated now. It's cheaper. You can just tell the good story, but you don't have to do all the special effects and everything. But can we ramp up the animation a little bit? It was just like, okay, they just went, bleh.
Okay.
I would have liked to have seen a little bit more out of it. I was hopeful at the very beginning because they came in at the beginning and they were showing basically the scenery that you see from the first Lord of the Rings, the mountains, the scapes and everything. And it slowly transitioned. You realize that's animation. It looks great. You're like, oh, that isn't like real. That's animation. And then they show the map and it transitions into like it's animated and you're like, oh, that's, it's drawn. It looks real. I heard that too. It looks really good, but now they bring the characters in and it's just like, wow, it's like Mickey Mouse, like drawn on paper type animation. Like literally, it just didn't play as well to me. I wasn't as impressed. Colors were nice. They were rich in the, you know, they had flame and stuff and you could see deep colors in the flames and everything, but it was just, it was literally flat. Which it is. It's on paper. So it's, but yeah. we're just so accustomed to being so blown away by animation or even in some of the DC films that are animated, really, really good. Right. And we've talked about it on the show. It's like, it's why do you need 4K for animation? And we've talked, you need it. This looks so good. This one here, you're like, no, it just, it wasn't there. But if you like the Lord of the Rings trilogy, definitely check this out. Absolutely. Mm. Maybe right. grab it, maybe rent it, you know, or stream it, whatever you have to do. If you want to add it to your collection, I recommend it because I did. It's like, so I don't want to be the only one.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I've got to go join these festivities, buddy. I can hear.
All right. Happy New Year then.
Sorry, man.
All right. Let's get out of here. I know you got a lot going on. So thank you for staying till midnight, though. Really appreciate it.
Man, my
everybody.
Pleasure.
Yeah. Mm. Everybody, thank you. Have a safe and happy New Year if you haven't already had it. We will be back next week. So happy New Year, everybody. Until next week, you know what you got to do.
Go push play.
What he said.
Is right.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.